want you to go back with me in your memory and in your imagination just a little bit this morning. And I want you to imagine being out here at night, no lights, real quiet, no street lights, no car lights, no anything. And your job is to guard sheep from wolves, from bears, from lions, and they're out there. And then all of a sudden, the angels come. Imagine how hard your knees would knock that night. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Interesting passage of Scripture. It's better when you let your imagination enter into it a little bit. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Again, you need to consider that shock that they went through that night. Amazing, amazing night. We know that they lived in somewhat an alert state out there that night. If you'll look back in your Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you don't have to look there, but there's a record there where David, who was a shepherd, told about some things that he did when he was out there as a shepherd keeping watch over his flock by night, and how he had at one point killed a bear, killed a lion, something that was trying to take his sheep. I'm sure their senses were on high alert, listening for every sound, listening for everything that could possibly happen. And all of a sudden, that bright and glorious light flashed and shone upon them. The Amplified Version says that they were terribly frightened. That's the idea. This wasn't a little, oh, you got me. No, they were scared to death. They were seeing something that they hadn't anticipated at all. Looking for other things, and all of a sudden this came up. Then the angel gives them the news. Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And even before they can mentally digest that and get all of that into their heads, there's this great host of angels, this heavenly host. I don't know how many were in that crowd. All of a sudden, another even brighter flash of light. And it talks about how it shone all around them. So the whole sky is lit up in the middle of the night. What a frightening experience. And yet they honored God in their response. The angel said, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And the shepherds believed it. And the shepherds accepted it. And the shepherds followed that advice. You see, they understood the real meaning of Christmas. They understood what it was all about. They found peace as they glorified God through their faith and their obedience and their response to the goodness of God in sending His Son. You know, today, the angels proclaimed peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And if you will go around and look at decorations in people's homes and things that are placed in front of businesses, you'll see many times, peace on earth, you'll see that. In big letters sometimes, that go all the way across the yard or across the roof of the house. And yet the truth of the matter is there isn't a whole lot of peace on this earth. Would you agree? There's just not. This morning I got up and checked the headlines on the internet and looked over some things that were going on. Some people are anticipating the end of the world because of their understanding of an ancient Mayan prophecy. I guess the guy ran out of room on his calendar. I'm not sure what happened, but 2012 is supposed to be the end. Our nation is facing problems of a devastating financial crisis. We've been in a downturn already, and some are fearing a fiscal cliff. The government's in a new form of the old bureaucratic gridlock. It's going on again. Illegal drugs are being declared legal, merely for financial gain for governments and for greedy suppliers. The Supreme Court right now is considering legalizing the marriage of sodomites, going through all of that. Iran and the United States continue their verbal battles over nuclear testing. Our Navy is sending two more warships to the region around North Korea right now. They're threatening to launch another military satellite. Egypt and Syria remain a mess. Don't know where those countries are going to end up. We still have soldiers on the ground in Afghanistan, even today, in harm's way. Victims of Superstorm Sandy are still trying to put their lives back together. In Karachi, in Pakistan, they're experiencing deadly riots right now in the streets. Hamas and radical Muslims are still seeking to destroy Israel. Where's this peace that was promised? Where is it? Why don't we have it? Where's this goodwill toward men? Now, we don't have a lot of that either. Where is this? Even if you go in the grocery store on Black Friday, you find out it's pretty scarce. And you get run over by some woman in a grocery cart. We really don't live in a place where that promise has been fulfilled, do we? Luke 2:14, again, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Well, why is it that we don't have that peace? I was doing some studying, and a fellow by the name of J.H. Jowett suggested something that I thought was a pretty good point. He said the reason that we don't have peace on earth is because they haven't finished the song. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's what everybody remembers. But they forgot the first part. Peace is the result of a proper arrangement of the parts. This morning we heard some music that was very nice and put together very well. I'm glad to know our piano is all the keys are there and all of the wires are there for the notes to come out, and that the organ hasn't got glitches in it. You ever heard one of those instruments played when everything was out of tune, or somebody's trying to play a guitar and all of a sudden a string breaks? There's that one person in the choir who just can't seem quite to get the right part, and they just are loud and they're just not in harmony with the rest of the choir. And not much peace there. I do a whole lot of this, you know, like that. Whoa, what was that? Don't want to sit and listen to that very long. You want musical peace. You want architectural peace in this world. Architectural peace. When we build a building, we want to make sure that the footings are in right, and that the foundation is set right, and that the boards are plumb, and that everything is level, and everything is set right, or the building tends to lean like the little shed in my backyard. We want architectural peace. We want bodily peace, physical peace. Some of us right now are going through times when there's not a lot of peace in our bodies. We have aches and pains and things that are not quite working right, sicknesses, illnesses, cancer, broken bones, things out of whack. We love it when everything's fitting together perfectly. But in order to have that, every piece has got to be in place. Every part has got to be working right. Every note has to be perfect. Every board has to be plumb if you want to have peace in those situations. And God's peace comes to us only when we are in a right relationship with Him. You see, it's peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that is a result of the first part of the song. Glorify God in the highest. If we don't do that, we're never going to have the full peace. We're never going to have the goodwill toward men. We have to put God first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. That's when the peace comes. The right relationship with God. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go through several passages with me that remind us of this. Isaiah chapter 26. I like to hear your pages turn, flipping through the iPod, whatever it is. As long as you're keeping up, I'd like you to see some of these verses. Because God's Word's got better answers than anything I can throw at you. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. It says there very clearly, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, when things aren't going right, when the wars are continuing and the battles are continuing and the financial concerns are still there, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the end. Remember that He is Jehovah. He is God. He is in charge. He knows the end from the beginning. We talked this morning in Sunday school about how we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. In Ecclesiastes 8, chapter 8, Solomon talked about that. And even the king doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us have that crystal ball that tells us what's tomorrow. But we do know who is in charge of tomorrow. And that is our Jehovah God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Look at Psalm 85. Psalm 85 and verse 8. Psalm 85 and verse 8. It says there in that passage of Scripture, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again unto folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps. We want peace on earth. We're going to have to do it God's way. We're going to have a turning back to Him. We live in a nation, we live in a world that has rejected Him. Everything on the face of the earth is tolerated except for the message of the gospel. You go into some stores and they're told that they can't play those Christmas carols that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see people who put up the signs, Merry Xmas, or they don't even say Merry, they just say Happy Holidays. They say, enjoy the season, or they say, have a nice day, but they don't want to acknowledge Christmas, the main purpose for the season. We wonder why there's no peace. We wonder why there's no joy. We wonder why there's no harmony. It's because everything in this world right now is out of whack. And we need to bring it back into line with who our God is. Living lives of obedience to the God of the universe. Psalm 119, look there. Psalm 119, towards the end of that longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, 155. It says there in Psalm 119, 155, salvation is far from the wicked. Peace is far from the wicked. For they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Are you in discord in your life right now? Are you having trouble? Are you having a hard time? Are you depressed, discouraged at this time of the year or any other time of the year? It is because you got your eyes off of that first part of the angel's message. Glory to God in the highest. Glorify God through obedience to His Word, to knowing His Word, to knowing Him, spending time in prayer, taking your burdens to the Lord and leaving them there. That all glorifies God. Living faithfully before Him, being a witness of Him, trusting Him completely, that brings glory to God. What does it mean to glorify God? Glorify. I've heard this before. What is this glorify? It means make Him look good. It means honor Him. You can't honor someone you're disobeying. You can't honor someone you don't know. You can't honor someone and go against His ways. And yet we want peace. Yet we want goodwill. We still have to get back to doing it God's way if we want the benefit. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Who is this God that we're glorifying? He's a God who wants something good for us. He's a God that wants to bless us. He enjoys blessing us. He enjoys taking care of us. He enjoys guiding us in right paths. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know," this is God speaking, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know what I want for you. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I'll bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. God wants to take care of His people. He wants to bless us. But the only way we're going to find Him and the only way we're going to receive His blessings is if we continue to seek for Him, to look for Him, to follow Him when we find Him. Romans chapter 5, look at this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior understand peace. Hey, I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I were to end this life today, exactly where I'd be. I'm as confident of heaven as I am by the fact that there's a lobby out there. If I go through that door, if I go through the door of death, there's a heaven on the other side. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death isn't a frightful thing for a Christian. It's not. If we remember our God, if we remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of us. I'm not saying rush it. Paul said, "I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, it's needful for me to be here for your sake." But when that time comes, we need not fear. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, In due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us much more than. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Doesn't that help you with peace? Knowing that God has provided these things for us? Knowing that he sent his son to die for us? Knowing that his son has ascended to heaven on the right hand of the Father and he's interceding for us every day as we go through our trials and difficulties? What great peace comes when we honor and glorify God. We get in turmoil and we forget those things. We may only forget for 5 or 10 minutes, but those 5 or 10 minutes aren't much fun, are they? If we don't get back to glorifying God and honoring God, the minute those trials come, the longer our uncertainty stays with us. And very quickly return to glorifying God when the trouble comes and the peace disappears. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We glorify God when we keep our minds right, when we keep our hearts right, when we take our burdens to Him. We thank Him for the answers that come. Do you have that kind of peace? We need to have the peace that God wants us to have as we glorify Him. Peace is not a goal. Peace is not a goal. Goodwill towards men is not a goal. It's a byproduct. It's a byproduct of glorifying God. Keep your focus on God. Peace is there. Hey, He's going to take care of my situation. He's going to meet my needs. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God's going to take care of me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. And peace comes. Glorify God constantly. This is our way. This is God's way to peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Somebody does you wrong, find a way to glorify God. God, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm glad you do. And will you straighten this out? Will you help this person to see where they're wrong? If not, I'm going to trust you anyway, Lord, and help me to have the right attitude towards this person. You see, this whole thing of glorifying God makes all the difference in the world. John Henry Jowett said, if only we would give glory to God in the highest, peace on earth is sure, and goodwill among men is secured. This is not a philosophical thing where we're trying to just figure it out. Oh, we'll get through it. We'll tune it out. We'll ignore the problem. It's not a theological thing trying to understand every detail. Well, that didn't fit into what my theological thinking is, and so God must not be good. We have our ecclesiastical thing. It's not a matter. You're not going to find peace by going to the right church. Even Mountain View. You're not going to find peace that way. It's not going to be governmental. Peace isn't going to come in a governmental way. They cannot legislate it. They can do all they can to write laws, and we have more laws on the books than we've ever had, and yet there's no peace. The only way to have this peace, I can't give it to you. That person sitting next to you in the chair can't give it to you. Your children can't give it to you. Your wife can't give it to you. Your husband, your parents. Nobody can give you this peace except God. It's a personal thing. Do you know God personally? I'm not talking about being a good person. I'm not talking about going to church faithfully. I'm not talking about obeying the rules. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about knowing God. In John chapter 3, a man came to Jesus, a very religious man, came to Jesus. And he recognized Jesus as being a good man. But he didn't have peace or he wouldn't have come to the Lord. And Jesus explained to him that you must be born again. And until you've been born again, until you've repented of your sins, until you have turned away from your own ways and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way, the only truth, and the only life, you'll never have peace. It's a personal thing. Nobody can do it for you. And then as a believer, the only way to have that peace is to continue living in the light of what your Lord has done for you. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you closer to the Lord today than you were yesterday? Are you closer to the Lord than you were a year ago? How is your Bible reading? How is your prayer time? Are you being faithful? It's not pedigree. It's not training. It's not just a profession. It's a relationship with this glorified God in heaven. Do you desire God's Word? Do you love God's children? Do you have a concern for lost souls? The shepherds got it. Go back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." But after that, but before that, they had told him, "Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now go see him. Verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." It's not enough to hear about Christmas. It's not enough to hear that a Savior has come. It's not enough to know all the facts and even memorize Luke 2. It talks about the whole Christmas story. It's not enough. You have to act upon it. You have to act upon it yourself. The shepherds said, "I want to find this Savior. I'm going to go and see Him." And they went. And they believed. And how do we know? Because verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They told everybody what they'd found. Are you ashamed of the Lord? I don't think you are. But have you been bold enough for the Lord? As a Christian, I'm telling you, the greatest peace that comes to your heart is being part of the plan. The great peace and satisfaction comes when you have the opportunity to know that you have either prayed for a lost soul who's come to the Lord, you've spoken to them, given them the Word, or you've actually been there to help them pray and accept the Lord as their Savior. If you've never done that, you are missing out on a great peace that God wants to give us. The peace of knowing that you're being used of God to help others gain peace. That only comes through leading them to the Lord. Verse 18 tells us that other people got peace because of what the shepherds did as a result of trusting the Lord. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Do you want joy? Do you want peace? Do you want goodwill with men? Then glorify God. That's our mission as believers. That's your need if you don't know Him. Father, thank You for this short passage of Scripture. It tells of simple men, almost brutish men who were used to just living in the fields. No refinement, no extra social grace. They came to you as little children and they found peace. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to simply trust you. Trust you for salvation if we don't have it. Glorify you when we go through trials, knowing that your way is best. Help us to walk with you. And we'll thank you for the peace that comes when we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.